¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. Jorge, Georgie, Martin here and Primo Hector in the house.
What's up? What's up, yo? Ready to rock? Getting to playoff contention time. I'm in fifth place right now in our league, so I'm excited, thrilled to have a chance to take home the trophy again. So
don't rub it in. Ricky's in first place. I am currently out of the playoff race.
Temporarily. Oh,
yeah. Temporarily. Let's see. There's like five people all tied at 6-4
six
ahead
and
of
five.
Me.
I know, man. We're six and crazy, five. Crazy. That's nuts. I've never seen that before. That's insane. Half our league is 6-5. That's crazy.
So I gotta win out and hope that I pass like three of the teams. So we'll see. But Familia Ricky is working late at the hospital tonight, so we're gonna have to catch up with him on our next show, which is gonna be this one's a special one. Next one.
I was gonna say I raised my glass to Rick because he's working ER for the front lines, and I'm drinking a little bit of bourbon, little Elijah Craig. So cheers to you, Rick, even though you suck. But no, good stuff over there, man. Do your thing over there. Take care of the people, man. A man of the people. So
yeah,
good stuff
over there. We'll raise a glass together on the next show. So well, everybody, gracias for joining us. Don't forget to check out our original content at familiaffb.com, as well as our at familiaffb on Twitter and Instagram, as well as our familiaffb Facebook page. So we're recording this. It's going to be for Wednesday, November 25th, the day before Thanksgiving. Normally we do the first preview show on Thursday, but since there's going to be games, we figured let's preview the Thursday games a couple more and then get it going. So, you know, this is kind of like the appetizer episode.
There you go, man. That's a food theme. I like it. Yep. It's a food theme, you know. It's, you know, Thanksgiving food and appetizers. So I like it. You're right on point.
Appetizers. What are your favorite Thanksgiving things?
Man, what are not my? Well, first of all, I got to put it out there. A couple years ago, I was watching Good Eats with Alton Brown, and everyone's seen. I think everyone's had at some point in time green bean casserole, and you know, it's. I think Alton Brown even talked about it on his Good Eats episode, where it was like a. I think it was a Campbell's soup promotion or some kind of Campbell's soup contest. The winning recipe was this green bean casserole. Like I guess it had never been made before. Some lady threw it all together with, you know, Campbell's cream of mushroom and canned green beans and, you know, the onion straw, you know, onion strings, whatever, and all that stuff and put it all together. And she won this prize of green bean casserole. And I don't know if it was a Good Housekeeping magazine or whatever. And it caught on a long, long time ago, 60s or something. And it's always been made with, you know, can this, can that, just easy peasy recipe. But, you know, it has potential to really be great. And this episode that I saw with Alton Brown, he actually made it from scratch. And if you ever have an opportunity to find green bean casserole made from scratch, stuff is phenomenal. I mean, green bean casserole all from the can, you know, obviously it won because it's, you know, it has pretty good flavor, and canned green beans just doesn't do it. You know what I'm saying? There's just something weird about, like, metallic about canned green beans. Yeah. It's weird. But man, green bean casserole from scratch is just a game changer. So all you out there listening to this, if you have a dish that you want to make that you haven't tried, go to find Alton Brown's from scratch green bean casserole. Just phenomenal, just insanity. Just go make it. It's great. I highly recommend it.
Well, you know what? I think one of the things that I think you introduced this probably about 10 years ago, maybe even more, deep fried turkey.
Boom. No, it wasn't me. I think it was poncho.
Oh, it was poncho. Poncho.
Yeah, peanut oil and deep fried turkey, man. Just he was the first one in our family to do it. That's
game changer.
Insanity.
That was
a game changer.
I mean, I love all turkey. That, and I will say one the thing, and we'll talk about this on Mexican Thanksgiving on our next episode with Ricky, but turkey mole with the leftovers is one of the good things. But I will say, you know, just for traditional Thanksgiving, for me, one of the things that's always just hits home, and it's the only day of the year that I eat it, is stuffing. So
boom,
I just,
right?
I,
and know, for most people, but yeah, good stuffing is just, you can't get enough of it. It's just Awesome. Good stuff. For
well,
sure.
Well, Primo, this is show number 99. So
99. Right?
Yeah, you're gonna go into 99 Luft Balloons.
Oh man, that was the coolest song. 99 Luft Balloons. Because it was, I think it was the first time, you know, I was, you know, in elementary school, and it was the first time that like a hit song was in a different language.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we grew up listening to, you know, Michael Jackson and, you know, every other hit, you know, Wham and, you know, Duran Duran, and every song was in English. You just kind of understood that, you know, we're in America and songs are in English, and that's just kind of how it's always been. And then 99 Luft Balloons came out. And there was an English version, yes, but then there was this German version that they played on the radio, and it was in German, obviously, but it was just like, man, this is like, they're talking in German. Like this is weird, man. But it was such a cool song. To this day, still a super cool song. 99 Luft Balloons. Go grab it. Go find it. Go play it. It's good stuff.
And I had forgotten that there was an English version of it.
Yes.
And actually, I found it on YouTube recently, and it pops up because I listened to it. It'll pop up like, do you want to listen to it again? So I've listened to it a few times, and I was just like, it's such a, like, because you don't understand the language, it sounds like such a happy, fun song, but it's really about like war. Yes.
And what is a Luft balloon anyway? A Luft balloon. Like, what's red. A Luft balloon? I still don't even know.
Luft is red. So the English version is 99 red balloons.
Sounds so much cooler to say Luft.
Oh, it's so much cooler. It's so much cooler. It's, I mean, way cooler, man. I like understanding it, but yeah, it's. But yeah, other things that we think of, and we saw him on Monday Night Football, Aaron Donald.
Boom, 99.
TJ Watt, Warren Sapp. So it's defensive players. Though I think Warren Sapp may have caught a touchdown here and there as a tight end eligible. Jason Taylor, a Hall of Famer. Right. I think all four of those guys. But then, you know, you look at baseball, there's Manny Ramirez, Hyunjin Ryu. So Mitch Williams, a little old school. So
and then there's Maxwell Smart, age 99, right?
Yep.
Or no, he was age 86.
He was age 86. Barbara.
He was age 86. Yes,
she Barbara was agent 99. Yeah, they never said her name. So
wait a minute, Barbara Eden, wasn't she the I Dream of Jeannie?
Oh, that's right. No. It's Barbara. She was also Barbara, but
Barbara Stanwyck, maybe a different Barbara. I don't
Barbara.
I don't know. She was cool though. She was agent 99. She was cool. Agent 80. That was one of the greatest show intros of all time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Barbara Felden.
Get smart.
Felden. Okay.
There you go. So, no, that was Agent 99. Yeah, fantastic. That was obviously a tongue-in-cheek look at, you know, James Bond, you know, 007, you know, Agent 86. It's classic. Yeah, that's, yeah, Agent 99. That's awesome. It's good stuff. Good stuff.
And the last one I think is probably like where the argument ends, who's the greatest 99, Wayne Gretzky, even though I'm not a hockey fan, but
boom.
Hard to argue with him, with the great one. So
how do we ponder this? Well, you have the great one, Wayne Gretzky, and then his son-in-law is Dustin Johnson, who's also a great one, who just won the Masters. So
green jacket.
How great is that? I mean, what must that be like? Like, yeah, man, I was like, you know, a NHL, I'm like the greatest. Yeah, well, I just won the Masters. Like, oh man, like how does that conversation go? Like, you know what I mean? That's got to be weird.
It's one of those things where they probably, like, you know, each one, because I know Wayne Gretzky plays golf. Right. And he'd probably be like, man, I'd love to win the Masters. And, you know, Dustin Johnson,
like, oh man, I'm with Stanley Cup. Like, oh, man.
Win the Stanley Cup and be the greatest of all time. You know,
they got to make like a TV commercial of that, right? You know, like that exactly. Like, you know, DJ holding the cup and like Gretzky, like with a green jacket. They just have to do it. Somebody out there, TaylorMade, or somebody make it happen.
ESPN, one of them.
Creativity is free. The creativity is free tonight. There you go.
Hey, so how you toasting the episode number 99, Primo?
Oh, I got some Elijah Craig bourbon in here, just bourbon on the rocks. You know, I've learned to simplify. You know, although I love myself a good cocktail, but in a pinch, bourbon on the rocks, just fantastic. Nice big ice cube. That's the key. Is instead of getting like little ice cubes and like a little ice cube tray, get yourself an ice cube tray that makes big ice cubes, and just put one big ice cube in the glass. Splash it with some bourbon, and that keeps it cold. And because it's a big ice cube, it doesn't melt as quickly, and it doesn't water down your drink. So there you go. The creativity is free tonight. Go make it happen.
Woohoo! Well, hey, let's get into some chisme.
He's mad.
So Thursday's game between the Ravens and the Steelers is, you know, we've got
don't say it. Don't say it.
We got our fingers crossed. We got a veladora lit, so we don't want
San Judas. San Judas, man, everybody. The patron saint of lost causes. Please, San Judas, don't let this game get canceled.
So we got five Brent Raven players and four staff members who've turned up positive this week, and that includes J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram. So which is why Gus Edwards headlined our waiver wire podcast. But you know, I think this is going to be like the NFL, the show goes on no matter what, you know. Yep. If we have a bunch of JV guys, I think they're going to play.
Yep. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The NFL is like the Wizard of Oz, you know, they can do no wrong. No one's ever going to shut down the NFL. No one's going to shut down, especially Thursday, Turkey Thursday, Thanksgiving Thursday. NFL games have now become burned into the soul of our history of what it means to have Thanksgiving. Is you cannot take away football on Thanksgiving Day. So it's as part of our culture now. It's ingrained in us. And it's going to happen. But yeah, even with COVID, you know, I don't think anyone's going to try to turn off or to stop this tradition of NFL games on Thanksgiving. As much as it may not be a good idea, I'm just saying no one's going to stop this from happening. It's going to happen.
Agreed. And I think the same thing is happening in Dallas, because the Cowboys had a non-COVID related medical issue that made them cancel practice on Tuesday, today that we're recording this. So, you know, they're not, that's the prime time, you know, Thursday afternoon. There's no greater tradition than the Dallas Cowboys playing on Thanksgiving Day. So
playing against the Washington football team, it doesn't have the same ring as it used to, but you know what I'm saying? It was a very historical type of dynamic between the Cowboys.
Oh yeah,
and that team. But now that it's Cowboys and you know the Washington football team, just a little bit of different dynamic there than in past years.
Now that's definitely a game that's going to go on. Adam Thielen, he apparently tested positive, then tested negative for COVID.
Whoa!
So we're gonna let's keep hoping. Let's keep hoping that he's fine.
Yeah,
the NFL is better with him in the league.
Definitely.
And I guess our last item, Teddy Bridgewater and Christian McCaffrey both expected to practice. We're not going to preview that game today. We're going to preview it in our Friday episode. But I don't know if I'm them, and you got a Week 12 game and then a Week 13 bye. You know, you got to invest long-term investments on them. You got a three-year deal with Bridgewater, multi-year deal, highest paid running back in the NFL, Christian McCaffrey. Do you risk it or go for it?
I don't know, man. I mean, we saw what happened to Joe Burrow, and I think that's on everybody's mind. You know, it's like risk reward. I think everyone's going into this week's games, you know, after what happened to Burrow, with a kind of a risk reward mindset, maybe a little bit different. We saw Tua. You know, we saw him get pulled out. Obviously, they were thinking that, you know, as far as an injury factor there. So we'll see, you know, what the Panthers do. I think they'll play the risk reward card and say, okay, what is risk reward, and what do we gain by playing these guys? What do we not gain, and what do we lose? And is it worth it? So I think that's what it comes down to, because they don't want any more injuries, you know, any setbacks. And like you said, they have Week 13 bye. And you know, if the season's done, you know, maybe you just rest them and just, you know, wait for next year. We'll see.
I think that's what's going to happen. I don't know if they'll get rested for next year. I think they'll probably get rested for Week 14.
Right. I'm thinking fantasy. I'm thinking fantasy playoffs.
Oh yeah.
Well, the season's almost over, but we actually have some real NFL games happening. So yeah, they'll maybe sit them, maybe get them healthy, maybe get them back to full strength, and then they'll, you know, play them out for the next, you know, Week 14, 15, 16.
Well, Ricky's got CMC. So let's, you know, yes, with him missing for a couple more weeks, that won't hurt.
Lucky for me, I play Rick Week 13. So even if McCaffrey's healthy, I don't have to face him. So I'm thankful for that. That's one of my Thanksgiving thanks that I'm giving, is that
Suertudo.
The guy that has McCaffrey, I play him on their bye week. So that's good.
Adios mio. Adios mio. Well, you're a lucky dog. You're a lucky dog.
Yeah,
well,
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Well, let's get into the Turkey Day previews.
Yeah, baby. Where's that stuffing at? Let's go.
Oh yeah. Well, this one's gonna be a game where there's a lot of stuffing because it's not the main course. You got Houston at 3-7 at Detroit 4-6 with the Texans, a road favorite, -3. You know, they're 3-point favorites, 51.5 point over under. You know, this one has all the makings of a shootout.
I don't know, man. Go ahead. What you say about
Deshaun? Go ahead.
No, here's the thing. I have Stafford on my team, just hanging on like barely by a thread. I'm ready to drop the guy. And even if Galladay comes back, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know what happened last week. I mean, he was in a prime position. They're saying his thumb is not so bad. He went up against Carolina's mediocre defense and he just crapped the bed, 178 yards and just nothing. So something is definitely wrong, way more wrong than what we're being led to believe. So I don't know, man. Because he should have just thrown the ball down the throats of Carolina's defense last week. And he just didn't do it. He couldn't do it. Something's wrong there. The way he grips it, the way he's spinning it, the way it's coming out. I don't know his confidence. I have no idea, but Stafford is not right. Take Houston at 3-point favorites. I just don't see Detroit doing anything. And Galladay is going to be out. The games that Galladay has been out, Stafford is just god awful. And he only a couple weeks back he got lucky, I guess you could just call it, and had a good game with 3 TDs. But that was like an anomaly because he should have just lit it up on this past Sunday, and he just totally crapped the bed. So do not start Matt Stafford. I have no confidence in him at all, especially with Galladay out. He's not going to do anything. And I think Houston's going to just run all over them. And you know, their defense isn't that great either. So I think Houston's going to eat them up and you know, like a side of green bean casserole. And just put your money on Houston. Detroit's, do not trust Detroit for anything at all. As much as I love watching them on Thanksgiving, I think they're gonna suck this week, and they're gonna lose.
So we just lost your brother as a listener for the rest of this episode.
He knows. if anything, Vic is definitely a realist. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, he is.
You know, he calls it like it is. He's a straight shooter. He will say the same thing. Like, yeah, something wrong with Stafford. Definitely something wrong with Stafford.
Yeah, that's something that definitely comes with you when you're an accountant. You have to play.
Yes,
say it straight.
You're crunching them.
Yep. The interesting thing about this game, lo que es muy interesante, is both the running backs, you know, both running defenses are the two worst in the NFL. The Lions are number 32. The Texans are number 31 against fantasy running backs. And to me, the good news that's coming up is DeAndre Swift. We didn't put this in Cheeseman because we're previewing the game here. DeAndre Swift returned to practice on a limited basis today after being missing last week with a concussion. So it's looking good, like he might be able to play. To me, I've got him on a couple of teams. If he's playing, I'm firing him up. I'm firing him up against that Texans defense. And this is my last chance, you know, taking a thought, you know, I've got Duke Johnson on a team. If he doesn't bust out this week against the worst defense against running backs, it ain't happening. It just ain't happening.
I don't know, man. See, the way I look at it is if Stafford doesn't come out actually, you know, and make a statement early on this game, Houston's just going to stack the box because I don't think Houston has any confidence in him either. I think Houston is going to play loose and I think they're going to try to stop the running game. And if that's the way that it plays out, then DeAndre Swift may have a long night. So, I mean, look at it that way. I mean, that's obviously risk reward and, you know, do your research and look at it. That's the way I see it playing out. And last week I did see a few plays. Stafford was a little bit inaccurate too. I mean, so something with his mechanics. I mean, you know, he's compensating somewhere for the thumb, and I don't know. It's just if their DBs can hold, you know, Marvin Jones and Hawkinson, if they can keep them at bay, it's going to be a long night for DeAndre Swift.
And I will say, I look at I look at Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks because they also had a couple of the number three and number four targets on their team, Kenny Stills and Randall Cobb. They're both likely out. I just think it. I just think it's just going to fill up the targets for Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks. I think they are just going to get plenty of attention from Deshaun Watson. I think that's when it comes I think that would be an interesting
Detroit's
stack.
DBs. Yeah, will Detroit's DBs be able to stop Fuller? I mean, he's going to be like, Keenan Allen getting like 16 targets. on Thursday it was
DJ Moore got I think it was 11 receptions against Detroit last week,
with a backup quarterback. So be ready. That's what I'm saying, be ready. I mean, Houston may just milk the clock and play the clock game and keep the ball away, and if that's the case, and if Detroit's coming from behind, what happens to DeAndre Swift in that case? If the game script, if Detroit's down by two touchdowns, does DeAndre Swift get the ball? Interesting.
Well, they like to throw it to him too. Remember his last game, he got 68 yards receiving. So
this is true.
He was, he's, well, I mean, I'm saying this wishful thinking, that he comes back and plays well.
I don't want to give you bad juju, man. I don't want to jinx. I don't want to tell you not to play him. I'm just, that's just how I'm just calling how I see it, man.
No, if he's playing, I'm playing. If he's he's healthy, I'm playing him. Done. Against that number 31 defense, he's playing.
Exactly. Done deal.
Well, we got Washington 3-7 at Dallas 3-7. The afternoon
game. Battle of the 3-7s, man. This is the juicy matchup.
And here's the thing. Whichever team it wins this game is going to be in first place in the NFC East by the end of the day. Yeah. Because they're both half a game behind the Eagles.
Wow. Oh, so EAGLES Eagles. Wow.
But you got Dallas, a 2.5-point favorite, 46-point over under. The one thing I will say, I was a little more encouraged by what Dallas did last week, coming back and beating Minnesota. Minnesota's defense is not that great, especially in the secondary. Andy Dalton was able to throw three touchdowns, but it just looked like they were more of a functional NFL offense, not a great NFL offense, but that, average to above average. You got Zeke with over 100 yards. You had Amari Cooper with six receptions, 81 yards. CeeDee Lamb with that just incredible, matrix-like catch in the end zone where everything looked like it was slowed down. He was suspended in animation. So I'm thinking, this is kind of looking like, okay, this is an offense I could deal with, I could work with.
Well, did you hear how Mike McCarthy got the guys fired up? Did you read that story?
Yeah, that was Gallagher.
What is that? Yeah, he went Gallagher on them. He got like watermelons and like a sledgehammer and just started smashing up watermelons. And who knew that if you want you want to motivate an NFL team, man, just grab a sledgehammer and some watermelons and just start smashing them up, and you guys will come out and win a football game. So there you go. That is some serious motivation right there.
Can you imagine if we would have smashed a watermelon in front of Abuelita back in the day?
Oh man. My
God. We could have gotten back slapped like you wouldn't.
Yeah, man, you can't waste food, man. That would be like the number one priority. Like, wait a minute, man, that's food and you're wasting food and we ain't having that. So no,
especially
you can't
fruta. Especially fruta.
That.
Abuelita was big on her fruta. Well, Abuelita, estamos pensando en ti. Yeah.
There you go. Exactly.
On the Washington side, you got Antonio Gibson. He's been, quietly, stepping up as that, like, in the non-Justin Herbert division as the top rookie running back. So you're looking at him and he's just like, he's running regularly. He's, pretty good ball player.
Definitely.
What is it? He's got touchdowns in four straight games now, five touchdowns in four games. And
well, I hope that streak stops. I play against him this week. So I am crossing. I'm crossing my fingers that he gets no touchdowns this week, but at the same time going up against Dallas's defense, I'm not holding my breath. I'm pretty sure he'll score at least once. I'm hoping that he doesn't score twice. That's my hope.
Number two, yeah, number 24 touchdown, you know,
against the run,
against the running backs, and Terry McLaurin. I think this is a game where you fire him up too. The Cowboys are number 31 against wide receivers. It's just,
yeah. So hopefully hopefully this is the game that Scary Terry gets three touchdowns, you know, and then nothing for Gibson. So I'm hoping it goes that way. And then, you know, and then of course, you know, Ricky could say that, you know, I'm rooting for him in that way. So he's got Scary Terry on his squad. So I'm rooting for Terry McLaurin to get three receiving touchdowns, and let's call it a day.
Oh, I need Gibson because, I need if Gibson plays, then I mean, if DeAndre Swift plays, I may sit Gibson because I've also got Deontay Johnson on that team. So
there you go. You got to play Deontay.
Oh, that one's and Claypool. Yeah, that's the team that's my team that started not in Familia League, but in my Dodger Stadium League.
Yep.
Started 0-5, and now they're six and five, and second in points overall.
That's
so
crazy. That's just, in a row. That's guys just, are just you gotta knock on wood, man. That's pretty amazing.
Just balling. That's balling. It makes up for the corazón roto that I got with losing to Primo Raul.
Yeah, so, by 1 point. When it was like you had all the momentum and then just stop. Dead stop.
Well, hey, let's go to Thursday night, the game that we're hoping happens.
Please, God, please light the candles, man, for this one.
Yeah, you got the undefeated 10-0 Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the 6-4 Baltimore Ravens. There's a, you know, by game time, it's going to be in the mid-40s with about a 20% chance of rain, a little bit of wind.
Yeah.
Steelers are 4.5-point favorites. The over-unders are 44.5. So, I mean, these games are usually rock'em sock'em games. This one's Pittsburgh has been different. Like they're still, even when they get that positive game script, when they've got the lead, they're still throwing the ball there. It's like, it's almost like they're using the pass as, you know, the short pass as their running game. And why not?
Their guys, I mean, Jesus, like we've talked about before, I don't, you know, it's rarefied air when you have a quarterback like Big Ben and you have a defense like Pittsburgh, and you have a receiving core like Deontay and Claypool and Juju and Ebron. I mean, Big Ben just must be just like giddy back there. Like, who do I want? It's like, you know, street football. You know what I'm saying? Like, go behind the car. Like, you know, come up here, you run it, go behind the car. He's just finding guys. There's at least one guy, possibly two, maybe three guys wide open every play. And Big Ben's good enough to find the guy. You know, okay, who's open now? Let's see, that guy. No, and he's just hanging out. Oh, is that guy open? Oh, yeah, that guy's open. Let me just throw it to that guy. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's just calm and collected. And, you know, he's not even worried back there. There's always someone open. He finds them. And look, Deontay is 16 targets. Claypool, 8 targets. Juju, 5 targets. You know, Ebron, 7 targets. I mean, they're just throwing the ball. It's bananas. And everyone's getting the ball. And they're just going to keep doing it. And so, yeah, as long as it's happening, Big Ben's going to keep doing it. And, yeah, there's not really need. Like we talked about Connor and the running game. That's taking a back seat because Big Ben is confident to know these guys are going to catch it. Dink and dunk all day, no problem. Long ball, no problem. I don't see Baltimore stopping them. Vegas is right to have Pittsburgh as a favorite here. And I think they cover – and they win at least by a touchdown. I read somewhere today that Baltimore's defense has not really been very, very stout, you know, lately. And you know, they've lost a couple of games too, right?
They lost a couple of games. They lost a couple of their main defensive linemen before the last game. So they could be. I mean, that's why I think Derrick Henry was able to run wild on them last week.
Right.
The interesting thing is, so I'm just looking at their schedule right now, and I really only see two games, maybe three, where they could lose. Let's say that if they don't lose this one, there's week 14 at Buffalo, which could be a tough one. That'll be a Sunday night game. Week 16, Indianapolis having to go into Pittsburgh, which I would still put Pittsburgh as the favorite on that one. Mm-hmm. And then week 17 at Cleveland, you know, that one could be a game where Cleveland is fighting for a playoff spot. The Steelers have already locked theirs away. You know, maybe they sit some people, maybe they sit Big Ben, and then and they decide not to go for 16-0. So
right. Yeah, you never know. That happens. That's why fantasy seasons don't go that far, because you got teams that are starting to sit guys, and that just makes it bad.
So I got a question for you. You could help me with a little bit of process right here.
Yeah, man.
I got Lamar Jackson on my on my two quarterback league. Yep. Patrick Mahomes is my other one. And I used Patrick Mahomes. I got them back to back at the snake. And so I definitely used a lot of draft capital. And I've got Derek Carr as my backup, as my third quarterback on that team. Do I dare sit Lamar Jackson? Because he hasn't been playing great. And Carr definitely has outscored Jackson the last couple of times. And he's got a good matchup this week. Do I dare do that? So,
I think you're understating it. Carr doesn't have a good matchup. Carr has a great matchup.
Yeah,
he's playing against the worst defense against the quarterback in the Atlanta Falcons.
So, yes.
Yeah. So I would, in my opinion, because that is exactly why I picked up Carr off waivers last week before the games got going. And I, lucky for me, because I picked him up like at 9:30 in the morning on Sunday morning. You know, it just because I had Drew Lock, and I'm like, wait a minute, what am I doing? So I got rid of Drew Lock and I picked up Derek Carr, and thankfully I get to sit Matt Stafford now and play Derek Carr against, you know, a terrible QB defense in Atlanta. So I'm starting Derek Carr, and I'm thrilled to be starting Derek Carr. So I would say the same to you, is you should be thrilled starting Derek Carr. And then whoever your second quarterback is, I'm sure it's Mahomes, but I would have no problem.
Yeah.
Either way, I think you're fine either way, but I would actually, if I'm leaning one way, I'd probably lean towards Derek Carr, you know, matchup specific. You know, and again, we've talked about with Baltimore, you got Dobbins and Ingram with the COVID scares and whatnot. How does that impact their complete offense? You know, does that discombobulate their offense with the way they run it, you know, the plays that they run? And obviously we're pretty deep into the season, so it shouldn't, but it might. So it's interesting to think of it in those terms, and how is Lamar Jackson going to be affected if two of his running backs are out? So something that another like twist to think about, and an X factor there. And so I don't know. I'd probably lean to Carr either way, just because if he goes for four TDs and everyone says, well, yeah, of course he did, because Atlanta's the worst defense, then you're going to kick yourself for not starting. You know what? I should have, because they are the worst defense, and numbers say that you should have. So there's that.
Oh, man. Well, let's go to the Sunday games. And we've got Indianapolis 7-3 hosting Tennessee 7-3. And this is a rematch. They just played 2 weeks ago. And it was a game that Indianapolis pretty much dominated, 34-17 on that one. Tannehill was not good. He was under 150 yards. The Colts held A.J. Brown to a single catch, 21 yards. I know, because I've got A.J. on a couple of teams. But, yep. You know, and now this one's moving to Indianapolis. You know, I love it when teams have seen each other and kind of know each other a little bit. This is I wonder, could this be a very different game than the last one?
I don't know, man. You saw what the Colts did against the Packers. They're not messing around. They are not messing around. Philip Rivers is not messing around, and they're just riding that wave. That was a great win. These guys are pumped. These guys are excited. These guys are motivated. That whole team is just going to come out guns blazing against Tennessee. And I don't, they're Indy's defense has been fantastic. You know, I had them, you know, for a while, you know, during the season, and they do great things. So I didn't expect it to be any different. If they laid the hammer on Tennessee before, obviously their, you know, coordinators have, you know, had time to study that game film and, you know, make the game plan again for the second time against them. And I don't see that they're going to do too many things differently. And if they had success the first time, even more so the second time. So I don't see it happening any differently. I think Indianapolis takes them -3. I think you might have to take Indy on that one. I think they win by more than that, but you know, it's, they're tough. They are tough. They showed it last game. Their defense is the real deal. Michael Pittman is is emerging as a solid wide receiver and just the man there for Phillip Rivers. And I see big things happening there. They're gelling. Indianapolis Colts are a real team, man. Be afraid of them. And I think they take it to Tennessee.
When I look at this game, though, I, you know, I'm also remembering Derrick Henry went for 103 yards last week. He got against Indianapolis, where Henry got 133 last week. So, you know, it's November. He's getting his yardage. If they are somehow able to break in and break through that running that defense, that's number six against running backs. The Indianapolis Colts are number six against running backs.
Yeah,
I look at this one. I mean, that could be different because I don't. I mean, they definitely the Colts definitely had Ryan Tannehill's number on the last game. They were not letting him do anything. Tannehill broke through last week a little bit again. You know, with against that really good Baltimore defense. But no, this could be I think this is going to be a different game. I think it's going to be a closer game. I could still see Indianapolis winning because, again, you know, that's two solid wins in a row, the last 2 weeks that Indianapolis. I think they've announced themselves as one of the best teams in the AFC.
They're the real deal.
Yeah. And they're tough. They're tough, you know. Well, one team that actually has also shown themselves as being tough is Vegas. You know, we touched on them just a bit ago with Derek Carr. They are 6-4 and at Atlanta after taking the Chiefs all the way till the end where Patrick Mahomes just showed why he's making $500 million over
there. That was a clock. I mean, we heard Collinsworth say during the game, like, man, and the Raiders must be just like puzzled and just trying to figure out a way to stretch their possession out to score because they don't want to give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes. And he was like very clear when he said it. And it was like, you know, foreshadowing, you know, he was like Nostradamus right there. He's just saying like, you know what, if you get the ball back to Mahomes, he's probably going to score. And sure enough, they scored, you know, the Raiders did. And Mahomes had like a minute and a half or so to do his thing. And sure enough, he came back and, you know, they won the game. So, you know, that's without that, you know, that if that doesn't happen, if the Raiders were able to somehow milk a little bit more clock there and not give Mahomes that chance, then that means the Raiders beat the Chiefs twice this season, right? Because they beat them earlier this season, right?
The Raiders did beat they're the only team to beat the Chiefs this year.
Right. So that would have been twice. That could have been very easily could have been twice. Just, you know, the clock was not nice to them, but the Raiders were totally in position to win that game, except for, you know, that minute and a half that they couldn't squeeze it out. They just couldn't do it. But, you know, other than that, they played well enough to win, you know?
So we've already talked about the fact that Derek Carr is just positioned to just rock and roll. I mean, and you got Darren Waller, you know, he caught it. He had 88 yards receiving and a touchdown. Nelson Agholor, all identical, 88 yards receiving and a touchdown, you know, against that Atlanta defense that's number 32 against quarterbacks, number 29 against receivers, it's going to be throwing early and often. This is just going to be, and this could be a shootout. You know, we've got the game time, the dreaded game time decision tag with Julio Jones. He's had the hamstring issue. I mean, he might try and play through, but how much is it going to compromise him? I mean, it limited him to 22 plays last week, and he only had 39 yards on two receptions. But again, is this going to be if he plays, does Matty Ice do it? I mean, he's not good.
He's not good when
Julio doesn't play.
That's you're exactly right. And I was reading a few articles today where, you know, everything, all signs were pointing to, if Julio sits, you can't start Matty Ice. It was like, wow, like definitively. It wasn't like, well, maybe, or, you know, possibly. It was like, no, if Julio sits, do, like, all caps, like neon lights and, like, you know, signal flares, like, do not start Matt Ryan if Julio Jones doesn't play. And it's not looking good. Julio Jones, anytime you have soft tissue, it's hamstring, right? Is that what it
yes.
is?
Yes. See.
Yeah. Soft tissue injury, the guy's getting up there in mileage, you know, so it's not looking good for Julio Jones to be as old as he is, you know, at this point in the season. Soft tissue injury, you know, it's not looking good at all for the Falcons. And if you're looking at, you know, anything that's, you know, we're talking about earlier about Derek Carr, the Raiders, first of all, are going to win this game. But the Falcons defense, they're 32nd against the quarterback. That's good for Carr. their fifth against running back. So they could give Josh Jacobs a hard time, which means more throws for Carr. They're 20th against wide receivers, which means more throws for Carr. And they're not so hot against, I'm sorry, they're 29th against wide receivers, and they're 32nd against tight ends, which means Waller is going to eat, which he's been doing fantastic the last couple games. Aguilar has been doing well. A couple weeks ago, he saw a 45-yard touchdown bomb from Carr. He got another touchdown last week, 88 yards. So everything is pointing to the Raiders as chewing up the Falcons, and especially if Julio Jones doesn't play, they might as well just walk in there just waving the white flag from the get-go. It's not going to be pretty.
Well, let's go to Cincinnati, where the Bengals at 2-7-1, they're hosting the Giants at 3-7. Another one, you know, again, another potential first place team for the NFC East. We got about a 30% chance of rain in Cincinnati that day. Temperatures in the mid-50s. The Giants are 6-point favorites. And, you know, it's largely because of one thing. Joe Burrow's out.
Joe Burrow.
That's the big difference right there. And, you know, do you feel good? I don't know if I feel good about starting any of the Bengals. Maybe Tyler Boyd, because he has actually played with Ryan Finley before. But, but I look at the fact that the Giants have been sneaky good. They've been getting a little bit of a pass rush. They're number six against the fantasy quarterbacks. So defensively, they're able to get out there. I don't know if I want the thing is, Giovanni Bernard maybe has a pretty good he's got a pretty good matchup with the Giants being 25th against fantasy running backs. But really, I mean, I don't know if I want to fire up too many guys from the Cincinnati side. Probably only Tyler Boyd, really, with confidence.
Right. Yeah. And I have T. Higgins on my squad, and all signs are pointing to a severe downgrade for T. Higgins. I mean, everything was just starting to happen. I mean, a couple weeks back, he had a touchdown, you know, a chunk of yards. I think it was like 15 fantasy points. Everything was looking, all signs were pointing up for T. Higgins. And obviously, you know, your quarterback goes down, and that's just, that's a major hit. I can't start T. Higgins with any kind of confidence at all. I have to sit him this week. I don't know, you know, until I see something. I think he's listed right now as like a wide receiver four, you know, borderline four or five, you know, for T. Higgins. So it's not anything that I want to even consider. I'm not starting a wide receiver four or five, you know, going into the playoff hunt. So I can't do that. So got to sit him, Gio Bernard, possibly, like you said, he's got a decent matchup against the Giants run defense. But just thinking about this game, but I just feel horrible about Joe Burrow. Like, that's the only thing that I can think about. It just sucks. It just totally sucks, man.
Now, on the other side of the ball, the Giants, Daniel Jones has been quarterback 23 this season, but, you know, it could be a decent matchup. You know, Cincinnati is not good on not very good on defense at all. You know, Jones has an 8-9. He's got 8 touchdowns, 9 interceptions on the season. So it's not particularly good, but he could be a sneaky play in super flex leagues this week. And you look at Wayne Gallman, he looks like he's solidified himself. Devonta Freeman doesn't, I think he's still going to be on IR this week. I don't think he's been designated back to return, but, he's a ball player. And honestly, I could see starting Darius Slayton or Sterling Shepard.
No, yeah. I think the thing that I think about with games like this, and if you kind of take a deep dive and really think about what's going on, you know, like take the 1,000-foot view, you kind of take a step back. What I see happening here potentially is that if Cincinnati's offense can't get it going, that means that their defense is going to be on the field a lot. You know, if Cincinnati goes in three and out, if they just can't gel, can't click, you know, there's a chance of rain there. So, you know, if for whatever reason, and the signs are pointing to that Cincinnati's offense kind of sputters, that means the Cincinnati defense will be on the field a lot, which means maybe not early in the game, but if the Cincinnati defense is gassed, you know, third quarter, fourth quarter, Then these wide receivers for the Giants are definitely going to create space, going to get open. You're going to see Slayton, you're going to see Gallman, Shepard. You're going to see some things happen with those receivers probably later in the game, maybe not so early. But if the Cincinnati defense is gassed because they're just on the field for like the majority of that game, I could see some things happening late in the game and these guys getting some good fantasy points on the Giants.
Well, the last game that we're going to preview today is Miami 6-4 at New York Jets 0-10. The tanking for Trevor, road favorite, Miami. You know how much I love those. They're 7-point favorites with a 46.5-point over under. Yeah, this game's intriguing in the fact that Tua Tagovailoa. I don't know why they call him Tango Vailoa, because there's no Tango in there. There's no N it. But, nope. You know, he only threw for 83 yards. He did throw for a touchdown, but got hit a lot. The Jets do not have a particularly good pass rush. Do they all of a sudden – the big thing is, does Tua establish himself in the passing game on this one? Because the Jets, I mean, we saw last week with the Chargers, they are not good defensively. They are just not good defensively, especially against the pass. They've got a whole group of young cornerbacks who just got torched by Justin Herbert last week. I think it could be more of the same. I think this is a week where Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki are both going to have, you know, big games.
Right. I mean, and I don't know if you mentioned, you know, Tua establishing himself. I don't know if that's the right word when you're playing against the Jets, you know, because I think most quarterbacks are going to have a great game. And yes, he's a rookie and, you know, it's going to be one of his first couple games of the season. But no matter what he does, I don't think, you know, you can opine about it based on the fact, you know, if he goes out and throws for four touchdowns and like 350 yards, you know, I don't think anyone's going to say like, oh man, Tua's arrived. You know, he's the real deal because he's playing against the Jets, you know? So it's like, okay, well, yeah, he had a great game because he played against the Jets. But you know, I think to your point though, I think he will have a fantastic game. And I think he will be able to show something. And I think he'll be able to showcase his talent. So yeah, if anything, maybe not establish himself, but I think he'll be able to showcase some of the skills that he has against a lesser defense, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think to your point, Gesicki does well. I think Devontae Parker has a great game. I think Tua probably throws for three touchdowns in this game, or maybe two touchdowns, maybe runs one in and maybe has a little bit of fun with it, because I don't see the Jets stopping the Miami's offense at all. On the Jets side, what do you think about Denzel Mims? I mean, I've seen him on the waiver wire. He's kind of getting a little bit of buzz as far as, you know, kind of one of the bright spots on the Jets. Do you see anything good coming out of him?
He's kind of got that long, that lanky, just kind of like a CeeDee Lamb type of build, kind of a little, I mean, I watched that game with the Chargers pretty closely, and he really impressed me. He had good spurs. He had good speed. And again, it just looked like he was able to, really reach out with a big catch radius, as people love to talk about. I mean, he looks like that big type of receiver. I don't want to say he's like a Julio Jones or something like that, but again, I think he's that deep threat that Jose Skinny, Joe Flacco, likes to throw to. So I think he's an intriguing player. I mean, and again, they're going to be throwing because Miami's going to blow them out in this one. Even though I've got this is one of my system bets. The Jets having six fewer wins than the Dolphins. So he's an interesting one. Frank Gore is also a guy that I think people are going to be picking up on the waiver wire just to, you know, maybe for a flex, because that's what happens. The running back position is so depleted by this point of the season. One guy that I'm kind of fading a little bit is Jamison Crowder. I don't think he's much of a he's really slowed down.
Yeah, that may be it for him.
Really slowed down. Bueno, everybody, eso es todo for our show. Yeah, thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out to you, the familia community. Please make sure to subscribe at Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a review wherever you can. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at FamiliaFFB. You could find me at JorgeMartin17 and Hector, what the heck with two T's.
What the heck? That's right.
Yeah. And then again, our familiaffb.com page, as well as our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. Well, everybody, gracias otra vez. This is our last episode before Thanksgiving. So, Feliz Turkey Day.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, be safe.
Enjoy your turkey mole. Yes, to do a lot of that. We'll be having a Zoom call, a familia Zoom call ourselves. So, enjoy yourselves. And remember, todos somos familia.
Salud.